Psalm 26, you know, here on Wednesday night. We're going through the book of Psalms, and we're at Psalm 26. So Psalms 26 tonight, and we're going to pick up at verse 3, but just to set the context, we'll read verse 1. Psalm 26, verse 1, David says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Now, remember, David is saying this. Now, a lot of times you say those words, you ask God to examine you because you know some things aren't right. But in this sense, David has been doing right by God. As we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, David says, "Lord, I've not sat with dissemblers. I will not sit with the wicked." And so he's done some right things, and he's saying, "Lord, examine me. Prove me, try me, know me here." And that's a good thing. Listen, David can confidently ask the Lord to do that because he's been walking with the Lord. But it's a good thing to ask the Lord also when you've not been doing that for sure, to examine you, to try you, to know you. He says here in verse 3, and that's what we're going to look at tonight, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, please, direct us, help us, and guide us tonight. And thank you, Lord, that you are a living and all-knowing and all-powerful God. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. So, Psalm 26 and verse number 3. David says here, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." So, loving kindness is one of the things the Lord delights in. There's some things that God delights in. His word tells us he delights in them. And loving kindness is one of those things. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. At verse 23. Jeremiah 9 verse 23. The Bible says this. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So the Lord delights in loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. So loving kindness is one of the things he delights in. What does loving kindness mean? In the dictionary, it means tender regard. Mercy. You know what it is to have loving kindness. If you have loving kindness towards someone, you're going to be merciful for them, toward them. You're going to have a tender, like the dictionary says, a tender regard for them. There's something that it won't be cold and unfeeling. It won't be cold and unfeeling. There'll be something that you have there toward them, a tenderness there. And David acknowledged the loving kindness of the Lord that had been shown to David. And David walked in the light of it. Notice how he words it. "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." That means he's aware of it. He's aware of God's loving kindness toward him. And David walks in the light of it and puts it to practice in his own life. Brethren, you and I, it's very important that we acknowledge the loving kindness of God in our lives. Brethren, there's lots of times... Brethren, that just to pause a minute and think about how good God has been to you will carry you through some things. And he has been good. Brethren, it's the devil wants us to concentrate on the things that are upsetting us or the things that aren't going the way we would like them to go, rather than to think about the loving kindness of the Lord. And to realize that even when we don't understand, he does all things well. He does all things well. Amen. And brother, he has been so loving kind in his regard to us. But he was that way to us before we were saved. And since we've been saved, how much more so now that we belong to him and are his? Look here, take your Bible just a minute, go to Luke 6. And brethren, this is something we should be aware of and walk in the light of. Luke 6 and verse 36. Luke 6, verse 36. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." But he's a merciful God. If he wasn't, there wouldn't a one of us be in this room right now. Let me tell you something. Look, Since you've been, if you're here tonight and you're saved, since you've been saved, you've given God, even after you got saved, you've given God any excuse he could ever need to take you out of this life. Now you have. But God, listen, he's merciful, and the Lord, you'll find constantly through his word, like we mentioned before. Brethren, God is not looking for the first opportunity to take you out. We give him that. He's always devising means to keep you in. Constantly you see this in the scripture. God devising means to keep somebody in the race, to get somebody right with him, to get them to get the thing right. God is constantly devising those means to keep us in. He's a merciful God. Go to Ephesians 4, and he expects us to be that way. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now remember, brethren, you can have a forgiving spirit, but forgiveness is only granted once it is sought. You don't just forgive someone without them seeking it. You'll do great damage to a person if you do that. You will do great damage if you forgive someone without them seeking it. And the reason we say that is because, listen, brethren, listen, God does not just forgive folks. You've got to seek him. You've got to accept Christ. And if you forgive someone without them seeking it, then what you're going to do great damage for them, because they never learn to repent and humble themselves down and get broken about the matter. If you just go say, I just want you to forgive you. Great, no problem. I could care less, but thanks. So look what you just did. They don't have to get broken. They don't have to humble themselves down. And it can do a great disservice to someone. But, when sought, ready to be granted. Look at chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Notice that David said, thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And what the Bible tells us to do here in Ephesians 5, walk in love. Walk in love. Go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. David walked in this loving kindness. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So again, all these different passages just point to us how, just as David had the loving kindness of God before, and he walked in the light of it, so we should do the same and must do the same. David says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. David says, I've walked in thy truth. Once again, we're looking at some different scriptures tonight. Go to 2 John. 2 John. 2 John. Walking in truth. Brethren, it's not enough simply to know truth. The Lord expects us to walk in it. To walk in it. 2 John, verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So that's Old and New Testament. Old Testament, the book of Psalms, David says, I have walked in thy truth. John rejoices. He says here in 2 John, he says, I found of thy children walking in truth. And then 3 John, verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And there is no greater joy than that. To see and have your children walking in truth. And if you want to grieve your parent, just don't walk in truth. That'll grieve them to no end. And, well, truth. Where's truth? Well, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you walk in truth as you walk in the Spirit. You walk according to Scriptures. And you walk in Christ Jesus. But you can't do any of that unless He lives within you, unless the Spirit of God abides within you, and unless you're devoting yourself to read the Scriptures. The Holy Ghost will not bring to your remembrance a verse you've not exposed yourself to. He testifies to that which He hears. When you read the Scriptures, you hear it, He will bear witness to that. Surely, you know that if you're saved, you can point back to those times that verses will be coming up to your mind. You'll be in a situation and God's just bringing the verses there. They're just there. And you're like, well, I didn't really know. I knew that thing. I didn't, but there it is. It's just there it is. God, the Spirit of God will bring it back up for you and to you. So walking in truth, brethren, is walking in the Spirit. Walking in Christ Jesus, as it says in Colossians. Walking according to the Word of God. But He's got to be living in you. And you've got to be spending time in the Scriptures to be able to do that. David did it. And you and I, in this church age, after the cross, we can do it also. It's done by walking in the Spirit, by the Word of God. And look what he says here real quick in verse 4. And I didn't read this, but I'm going to read it to you now. Verse 4, he says, I have not set with vain persons. I have not set with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. So David says, thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Look what he says in verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons. The word vain in the dictionary means empty, worthless, light. And again, just worthless. David here refers to some people as vain persons. And you know what, brethren? There are some folks that as far as them benefiting you are just worthless. Now, listen. Now, hold on there just a minute. Christ died for them. Christ died for them. Yes, indeed. And He wants to see them saved. Brethren, if they're not walking according to the counsel of the Word of God, and you spend time with them, that is a vain individual for you to be around. Empty and worthless. Because they're not going to benefit you. They're going to subtract from you. Last night at the juvenile center, I had the chance, and I told those boys what I've mentioned here before. And I said, fellas, I said, let's just shoot straight about it. I said, you know what, guys? I said, you know what? You don't need to tell me, because it's not my concern right now with y'all. I said, but I'm sure some of you have heard in your mind, you've heard the thoughts. You've heard the voices. Put it right there and just pull it. Or put it around your neck and kick the chair out. I said, you ain't got to tell me, but I guarantee some of you heard it. I said, I'm telling you, God ain't telling you to do that. God ain't telling you to do that. I said, but fellas, I do want to tell you this. I said, a big lie has been foistered on you. And it's the lie of evolution. And I said, fellas, I want to tell you something. If evolution's true, there is no purpose to life. Let's just shoot straight about it. Y'all listen, if evolution is true, if there's no God, if all we are is the result of some cosmic accident that it just happened to fall together and here we are, and then you die and go back to the dust, nothing matters. Why not get it done and over with? Because look here, outside of God, look at this life. Might as well tell the truth about it. I mean, come on. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Since all of recorded history, trouble, trouble, trouble. Now we know why, because of sin, right? The world don't know that. The world don't accept that for the most part. And then your body breaks down. You get older and you die. Oh joy. What a glorious thing. Folks, if evolution is true, the propaganda that puts out, it's the biggest farce. It's the biggest joke. Oh, there's a reason to live. Why? Why? Give me one reason. If evolution's true, give me one reason to live. Well, for other generations. Oh, get out of here. You've got to be kidding me. Nobody's making it better for nobody else. Same old problems. Just getting worse. Just getting worse. I mean, seriously, it is. Well, you've got to live to what? To what? Tell me. Well, just because there ain't one. Look, some of these people just figure it out. They believe what they've been taught. And let me tell you something. If evolution's true, there's not even no rules. It's just a bunch of arrogant, elitist people forcing their rules on other people. Right. Whoever's got the most guns wins. Just get some bigger guns and do what you want. Now, folks, I'm telling you the truth. If evolution's true, then listen. If evolution was true, then you just need to do what makes you feel good. And pull out whenever you're ready. Because nothing matters. And what a big joke to write sentimental cards and all roaring phrases about, you know, life and liberty and doing things for people. It's a joke. Are you kidding me? If evolution's true, if evolution was true, what a joke. Nothing matters. But if there's a God, and there is, who's created all things, and he is with whom we have to do, then there is every reason in the world to live and to live unto him, not just in this life, but for everlasting. Amen. But there's no two ways about it. It's either all in or all out, bud. It's either God, and there's every purpose in the universe to live, and you need to live for him and know him, or if there ain't no God, nothing matters. But you're going to find out. See, that's what the Lord always did. He said, make the tree good, the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt, the fruit corrupt. Jesus said, look, if you're going to call me good, don't call me. If you're not going to accept me as God, don't call me good. I mean, make it one or the other. I mean, just this kind of stuff. Well, you know, kind of. No, it ain't like that. It ain't like that. But find out. And you know something? The thing of it is, now I'm serious. I had one of the best times with those boys I've had. Thank the Lord. It was just, they got riveted on that thing. Just got riveted on it. And it made sense. It made sense. And folks, it does make sense. And it's one of the, it kills me to teach a child for 12 years that he evolved and then tell him to follow rules. What a joke. To teach a child that there is no God, you just evolved, so there's no final authority, so follow rules. Well, who made rules? Well, we do. You're just arrogant that you're going to force your rules on the rest of us. What if I think that stealing's okay? And there are some cultures that do think it's okay. Who's to say that they're wrong and you're right? You just get bigger guns and you win for a while. It's just dog eat dog, bud. And we know why. We know why the things are like they are. It's because of sin. The Bible has the answers. But the Bible has the questions and the answers. It's got it all right? But it's just a farce. It's just a farce. What gets forced off on this generation, on the whole world, with teaching them evolution, but then saying they ought to be nice, upstanding, good citizens. But when you recognize that there is a God, a creator, that we're accountable to, okay, then it all makes sense. Then it all fits. But I bring this up about vain persons, worthless, empty. Nobody would like to be thought of as being worthless. And I'll say this to you, brother. Now the Lord died for us. But you know why he died for us? Because of his great love. Not because of our worth. Brother, we don't add anything to God. Come on, folks. When the Lord saved me, he didn't get a treasure. I got the treasure. Amen. I stand amazed at his mercy, his patience, and his grace. I do. I stand amazed at his mercy, his patience, and his grace. I'm the one that got the treasure. Why do you think in heaven that you see in Revelation, they take those three crowns and cast them? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. They know where it goes back to. Him. Back to him. But you need to understand, brethren, that you know what? There are some folks, don't mean this in the wrong way, mean it in the right way, but they're vain. They're worthless in the sense of they're not going to benefit you. They're going to detract from you. And you don't need to be around such people. David said, I have not sat with vain persons. He didn't say, I've not participated in vain things. He said, I have not sat with vain persons. You are known by the company you keep, and you are influenced by the company you keep. Amen. That's all there is to it. You're going to be known by the company you keep. You are going to be influenced by the company you keep. Who you sit with. I mean, seriously. That's what I love about the King James Bible. It's just straight. It shoots straight. It names it for what it is. And David said, I have not sat with vain persons. Because if you sit with people, there's something about that that you get relaxed, you get comfortable, and you let your guard down. And you're going to get influenced. When you sit with vain person people, when you sit with them, when you listen, have you ever noticed, if you're busy standing doing something, you may have time to a little bit, but you know what? When you sit down, you let down a little bit. You relax. And there's something about sitting, it's relaxing, it breaks down barriers, it opens itself up for fellowship. Same thing that a meal does. David said, I've not sat with vain persons. David didn't do it. He may have had business to do, but he wasn't going to sit with them and just chew the fat with them. I'm not saying you're not friendly to folks. I'm not saying that you're not a witness to folks, you're not to take, of course. But when it comes to fellowshipping, David said, I'm not sat with vain persons. You're not going to influence them. They are going to influence you. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. But they're so funny. Okay, I got you. God gave us the gift of laughter. I thank the Lord for humor. But listen, life is not all about laughter. That's just a small part. And how are they benefiting you? How are they going to benefit you in things that matter here? And how is it going to benefit you in eternity? Vain, empty, worthless. But they make me laugh. Well, that's great. But life is made up of more than laughter. It's a part of it. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't think much of a marriage to where two people couldn't laugh none. Now, two people that can't laugh in a marriage, you're going to have problems. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. But I'm going to tell you something. A marriage made up of nothing but laughter, something's wrong. That's why young folks, listen, one of the things that's attractive to someone is a good sense of humor. I don't know about you, but I've seen it in high school and coming up. Hadn't you ever seen a couple and you scratched your head and going, how'd she end up with him? Or how'd he end up with her? Now, you know you've seen that at times. And you might wonder, they just don't seem like they go together. Just, you kind of find out, you know what happens? They'll say something like this. He makes me laugh. He cracks me up. He makes me laugh. That's a big thing. It is. In fact, it can be an attractive thing. It can be something that attracts you to someone. That's great. But you ain't going to build a marriage on that. It helps. It's a good part. But you ain't going to build a marriage on that. You ain't going to build a marriage on looks. It helps. Sure. You like to find somebody to find them attractive. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not good to base it totally on it. Have some things in common. That's good. But it got to be more than that. And I want to tell you something. Just because two people are saved don't mean that marriage is going to work. Listen, that person may be saved, but y'all may not be compatible. All right? So if you get it, you better disabuse yourself of the idea, well, he's saved, I'm saved. Might as well. Oh, my. You're going to be in trouble. How about having some things in common? How about liking to be around each other? How about, brother, two people can be saved, but they don't want to spend all the time with one another. Personalities are different. You understand that. And so laughter fits in, but it's not. What I'm telling you is this here. Listen, with a marriage or just with fellowship and company, well, they're so funny. Laughter's fine. But is that person benefiting you, enriching you in things that matter? and that'll help you in this life and in the next. Listen, Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. David did that. He said, I've not sat with vain persons. Forsake the foolish. But they're so fun. Well, yeah, they might be fun to be around. Keep hanging around. Let me tell you something. Young folks, young fellas, especially. Now, I don't think it's probably got to the place yet that at work, people are bringing joints into work and getting stoned and drunk at work. I'm sure they do in some places, but it ain't quite like that yet. Who knows what lies ahead? But what I'm saying is that crowd that you sit with and they're funny at work. See, at work, you can't do things that you can when you get off work. You understand? So you think it's harmless. Oh, maybe some of the jokes they're telling you shouldn't laugh at, you know better. But, I mean, you know nothing. But so they ask you over to this place or to that place, and you go, well, it ain't work now. And that's when they pull out the stuff. The drugs, the alcohol, other things. Who knows what all. And you know what? You'll get woke up real quick. And it'll make you sick. Some of you in this room have been raised clean. Your parents have tried to raise you clean. There's some things you would see that would make you sick. There would be some things that there's people you work with, you think they're young folks like you. They're not. They do some things that would make you sick to your stomach because you've not been around it. You've not been exposed to it, thank God in heaven.
Amen.
And it would shock you. It would take the breath out of you. It mess you up. You don't understand. There are things that go on that don't go on at work or at somebody's house. And at work or at somebody's house, they're keeping it at a certain level that's bad enough, but not as bad as it gets. And you think it's just going to be kind of like it is at work. No, it won't. It'll make you, at the minimum, it'll make you sick if you've got anything to you at all. At the worst, it'll pull you in or get you in the wrong spot. It can't be good. I'll tell you that right now. Stay away.
Amen.
Stay away. Oh, I'm lonely. Well, it happens at times. Draw nigh to the Lord. Pour your heart out to Him. It's better to be lonely and do right by God than to have companionship that leads you down just into degradation. God's able to take care of that. Look to Him. Go to Him. Trust Him. You better stay away. Forsake the foolish and live. Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So there you go. Who are you hanging around with? Who do you want to be with? You walk with wise men, you'll be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. See, listen. How many times, you know, you see young folks hit that time, about 17, maybe early 20s, and they think that nobody knows anything older than them, or they don't want to be old. But you know what? A little bit later, you can see them just a little bit after that, and reality's starting to set in. I got this kid now. I got this marriage now. I got this now. And boy, it all starts, and they need some wisdom now. And they wish they had got it. Oh, young folks, be smart. Be smarter than what's going on out there. Come on. Look here, take your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What you hang around, sit around, and listen to is going to affect you. It's going to creep in. And it's going to find a place in you, and it's going to get in there, and the devil's going to try to work it in there to your heart. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What you listen to, what you expose yourself to, it affects you. The music you listen to, the books you read, the websites you go to, the different things. Listen, those things affect you. Who you sit with, because you break a barrier down, you start fellowshipping now, it's going to affect your outlook on things. It's going to get in. Let me ask you, are those that you sit with and spend time with, are they making you better and more holy or more light and worldly? Simple. Answer it. And it's answer it. Answer it. In your mind, answer it. Are those that you are choosing to sit with and spend time with, are they making you better, more holy, or more light and worldly? Choices to make. Choices. Listen, it would be better sometimes then to get up, go to the car, and read your Bible instead of sitting there or do something else. Well, people will think I'm, yep, there you go. You got to, you know what? Glad you said it. You got to come out and it's going to, have to, you got to face up and find out who you are, what you are, or what you want. You're right. Because if you're going to try to play the church game when you're at church and then play the world game when you're at work and then try to, it ain't going to cut it. It ain't going to cut it. Who are you? What do you want? You want the things of God? You want things of the world? You want to try to get along? A little of both? It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It'll work like that. And you better find out. You better discover that. You better find out. Listen, when you take... What will happen is, listen, God made us to where we like being around people. Sure we do. That's fine. You just need to be around the right kind of people. And if you sit at that, listen, if you sit at that table or if you sit at that with others when you don't have to, you think it'll be okay. You don't understand. Someone that doesn't know the Lord, someone that raised around like you've been raised around, they will turn everything into something dirty and corrupt. It's unbelievable. You think you can bring a conversation up. You think you can bring up a neutral subject and everything will be fine. There is no neutral subject when someone's lost. Just like for the believer loving God, everything centers around the Lord. With them, everything centers around something ungodly. And I'm telling you, you can bring up the most innocuous thing and somehow that thing will turn dirty. Perverse. You just bring up a trip to the zoo. And Katie, bar the door, son, look out, here we go. You'll be sitting there going, how in the world? Could someone come up with something like that? It's because where their mind's at. That's where their mind's at. And they're constantly exposed to it. And the world's feeding it. And the world's feeding it to where their mind just always gets geared toward that. Now, if that's what you want, well, go for it, I reckon. But, you know, God told his people one time, if you want to go serve with the gods, go. But don't pollute my name no more. Don't put me in it. Don't try to go pretend to boast of a thing. Find out what you are. But don't play no games with it. And you better look real far ahead and see where it leads to. I'm just telling you, y'all, all of us, but especially you young folks, who you sit with and fellowship with, it's going to affect you. David said, I have not sat with vain persons. David said, I won't do it. I won't sit with them. All right? Look what he says next. Psalm 26, verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. David said, I'm not going in with them. I ain't getting caught up in that stuff. What's a dissembler? A dissembler in the Bible, in the dictionary, is defined as a hypocrite. One who conceals his opinions or dispositions under a false appearance. It's a liar, but they lie by the impression they give. A dissembler gives an impression that they are one thing when they are another. They dissemble. They go along with something that they really don't go along with. They give a false appearance, a false impression. David said, I'm not going in with them. See, David knew that. David knew that you will pick up the ways of those you associate with. Again, they may be funny and fun to be around, but are they true? Someone, I think as a man named Thomas Watson made this statement, and it's pretty good. He said, if you mingle bright armor with rusty, then the bright armor will not brighten the rusty, but the rusty armor will spoil the bright. You will not make them better. They will make you bad. It's one thing going to someone with the intention of sharing the gospel with them, trying to influence them for God, doing your time, and pulling out. It's another thing to go neutral and just hang around. If you're not going with the purpose of trying to get truth to them or get them around the things of God, if you're not going with that purpose, if you're just going neutral and hang around, now they're going to influence you. What's going to happen? The bright armor will not make bright the rusty, but the rusty will taint the bright. You know that's true. No, it's true. It's a principle that goes all the way around. All right. Take your Bible just a little bit more here. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You pick up the ways of the people you hang around. You pick up their ways. All right? It didn't say that you're not to be friendly with an angry man. It said don't make friendship with him. You can be friendly to all people. It's just you don't strike up a friendship with an angry man. Or with a furious man, thou shalt not. Why? Lest you learn his ways. You know what happened? That person will affect you. Everybody in this room that's married knows that once you get married, you become one and both of you pick up ways from each other. You do. You get married. Now, hopefully, guys, she's picking up more from you because you're leading, hopefully. But you do pick up a little bit from each other. You know, pick up all kinds of things. I mean, you trade off maybe toothpaste for, peanut butter. I don't know, you know. I've always liked this. I'm just talking about an external thing. I've always used this toothpaste. Well, my family's always used this. Well, somebody's got to give. Or you go neutral, find one then that's not, or whatever, you know. Or peanut butter, or like that. There was a lady we knew one time. Her husband told her, said, look, Dixie Crystal Sugar. You've got to always buy Dixie Crystal Sugar. And she told us, she goes, I got to buy them groceries. And she didn't have the money sometimes. I guess that was a little more, you know. So she bought the store brand off brand. He never knew. But now I will say there are some things, you know. How many guys in this room has had the wife go cheap on something? And that's fine. Thank God for a wife to do that. But you've been like, eh, that came from the yellow box, didn't it? Y'all remember the yellow box? So you know what I'm talking about. And you're like, hey, honey, that thing right there. Like, okay, if we can't afford it, that's fine. But some things you can tell. But some things you can't. We think we can, but we can't. You know, you're like, because you saw the box. No, I could tell it. I knew it. But what I'm saying is, we pick up things, right? We do. But we also pick up character things. We pick up those things. And it just happens because of somebody that you hang around. Have you ever seen your child hang around some of the kid and they start picking up ways? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, there's a phrase they'll say or a way they say something, and they'll pick up things. They'll pick up things. You know, it's funny. When Ben was younger, aggravated Sarah to death. Ben had a really good handwriting. She had worked with him, and he saw there was another little boy at church, and Ben liked the way he wrote, and it was horrible. And he copied that, and it like drove his mom crazy. Because it's like he liked the way he wrote. Well, it was rotten. It was horrible, right? It was. It just was, right? And it's like, or like you take a kid's got it holding a pencil real good, right? And maybe see another kid hold a pencil like that. I like that, you know. And you're trying to teach him something. And I know those are little innocuous things, but it happens with character. Whether it's children, whether it's older, who you spend time with, you're going to pick up ways. And the sad thing of it is, if you're just hanging around folks that don't know the Lord and don't care about things that hopefully you do care about, if you're just hanging around, somebody's going to influence somebody and you're going to be the one influenced. Because, see, you're going in neutral. You're going in neutral. You're going in neutral. Because you're not there, you're just trying to do your job. You know you can't pull out a Bible study right then and there. It's not the time for it. It ain't going to work, right? You can go read your Bible. So you're neutral. And you kind of want some friendship. you're going to get acted upon rather than you acting upon. Well, what about having an influence on somebody? You do that on the job by doing a good job, by being the best you can, by giving God honor and glory, by being honest about all things, by being upright. That's how you show your character. And you can be cordial to them, but if you sit with vain persons, if there's someone, listen, if there's somebody got an interest in the things of the Lord, that's fine. But listen, if it's somebody that's not going to profit you in making you, helping you to live a more holy, godly life or closer to the Lord, if they're going to detract from that, stay away. I didn't say be snobbish. I didn't say be stuck up. You ought to be friendly, helpful, do what you can to help anybody out. We're talking about sitting with. We're talking about fellowshipping with. You're liable to get acted upon rather than you acting upon them. Let's go back to Psalm 26, closing it up. David says, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." Yeah, the Lord's good to us, mighty good to us.
Amen.
And it's a rough thing to get up in the morning and talk to God about how good He is to you and how much you love Him, and then repay that goodness by putting ourselves in situations and end up saying things and doing things that we're ashamed of. And then you got to confront the Lord you just told, the God you just told how good He was, and you thank Him for His mercy. And then you got to go avail yourself of some of that mercy in ways that you shouldn't have to. I mean, thank God He's there for us, but you put yourself in situations you shouldn't have. He says, "And I have walked in thy truth." Walk in truth, brethren. Walk in truth. The word of God. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in Christ Jesus, according to the book of Colossians. But then he says, "I have not sat with vain persons." And that's very instructive, brethren. He said, "I've not sat with them." Well, you're going to have to be around all kind of vain people. But sitting down, that speaks of relaxing, fellowshipping with. A little barrier gets broke down. Be careful who you sit with. Careful you sit with. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. David says, I had nothing to do with it. I may have to be around them, but I ain't going in with them. I'm not having a part of that. I'm not going to have a part of that. So look here. I want you to ask yourself that. Or, I guess the question I would leave with every one of us tonight, but especially some of you young folks. And don't say to me in your mind, don't say, well, I'm not saved. Well, what do you want, though? So I said, well, I don't believe the Lord's dealt with me. Well, maybe He realizes you don't want Him to. No, I'm serious. I don't believe the Lord's dealt with me. Why? Just so you tell Him no? Where's your heart at? Do you want the things of God? Do you want the right things of the Lord? Do you want Him? Listen, I'll ask you again. Are those you sit and spend time with making you better and more holy? Or more light and more worldly? What is it that you want? What is it that you want? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you, dear God, for the example that David lived and spoke of and could with clear conscience speak to you about. And Lord, when David, Lord, walked contrary to you, he owned up to it, fessed up, didn't make excuse. Father, help us to take heed to these words in Psalm 26. Help us, Lord, to do likewise. Help us, Lord, to be careful of who we associate with, who we spend time with, who we fellowship with. Lord, we're not talking about a self-righteous, arrogant, snobbish attitude. Never, never that. Lord, we're to be helpful. We're to be cordial. We're to be friendly. We're to help anyone we can. We're to set an example. Be there ready to help all. But Father, sitting with, fellowshipping with, that's a different matter. And Lord, when we break those barriers down, Lord, then we open ourselves up to influence in a wrong way. Lord, give us understanding. Give us the right balance with this. And help us to make a right and a proper application. We thank you and we ask this, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name and please for His sake. Amen. Okay. Love you. Hope you all have a good week. Hope to see you Sunday. Lord bless y'all.